Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David continues our series of people who got up close with Jesus with the look at the man with the withered hand. Let's listen.
Did you know that in June of 2023, the Supreme Court decided a case that had to do with the Sabbath? It was a very interesting case. So what happened was there was a postal worker, and the postal worker said, "It's my belief that I should not have to work on Sundays. Sundays are a holy day to me. It's my Sabbath, and I don't believe I should have to work." And for most of his career, that was fine, right? We don't get mail on Sundays, and so that's no big deal if he didn't want to deliver mail on Sundays. But that changed in 2015 when the Postal Service contracted with Amazon to deliver packages on Sunday. All of a sudden, he was asked to work. And he said he was put under so much pressure to work that he eventually resigned and filed a lawsuit. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up today is this lawsuit went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And it centered on this question that I think we still kind of grapple with today. Can a company force a person to work on what they believe is the Sabbath? Well, the Supreme Court ended up siding with the postal worker. But I bring this up not so much for the particulars of the case, but because it speaks to a much larger issue that we continue to debate today. What do we do with the Sabbath in the 21st century? We're wondering this today. We're having conversations about it. We're discussing it. The Supreme Court is discussing it. And that's not unique to us. This goes all the way back to the first century. We're going to study a story today from Scripture where Jesus, too, is having a debate about this issue with his religious leaders of his day, saying what is lawful to do? What is lawful to do on the Sabbath? How is it that we honor this holy day? Now, this conversation is a part of this series that we've been going through this Lenten season called Up Close. And you're going to meet a character, and it's a character that we only know him as a person with a withered hand. And this person with a withered hand ends up coming up close to Jesus, and his life is changed as a result. But we don't start with him. He doesn't show up until about halfway through our story. So you're just going to have to pay attention until then. But here's where we're going to begin, in Mark chapter 2, verse 23. It begins with this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Okay, so Jesus and his disciples, they often walked from town to town, right, to go and share the good news of the gospel. And on this particular day, well, the disciples are getting hungry. They're getting hungry, and as they walk along, they're picking just heads of wheat, and they're eating those things as they go. Now, this is not against the law. Even though those are not their fields, this is not considered stealing. The reason for that is there was a law in the book of Deuteronomy, so all the way back to the fourth book in the Bible, that says you're allowed to pick other people's fields for a little bit of grain or food if you're hungry. Because in God's law, we want to share. They said it would be stealing if you took a whole sickle and then really cut into their field. You can't do that. But if you're just picking here and there as you go, that's the kind of culture and world that God is trying to create here. And so that's what the disciples are doing. They're just walking along, picking bits and eating as they go. The Pharisees have an issue with this, though. The Pharisees see this and they begin to create a stir, not because of the act itself, but because of when the act occurred. I'm sure you picked up on it, that this happened on the Sabbath. Now, what is the fourth commandment out of the Ten Commandments? It is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. How do we do that? What does it mean to remember the Sabbath? What does it mean to keep this day holy? Well, in Jesus' time, it was determined that a person could not work on the Sabbath. Work would not be a way of keeping this day of rest holy or set apart. I think today we continue to have these conversations, don't we? Every person in this room probably needs to determine for themselves and their families, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath? What does it mean to carve out one day every week that's set aside for intentional rest and renewal in God? Well, in Jesus' day, the religious leaders really thought that question is answered. We know the answer. The Sabbath is honored when all work ceases. That's how you know you're setting aside that day. That meant that you could not cook on the Sabbath, right? You had to cook all of your meals on Friday night to get ready for then Saturday, which was their Sabbath, because even cooking was considered work. And you definitely couldn't pick heads of wheat as you were walking if you were hungry, because that would be considered work on the Sabbath. So this is the charge against Jesus' disciples, that what they're doing is considered unlawful. It's against the law that they've created in the land. And Jesus responds with, have you actually read your Bibles? Okay, that's not a word-for-word quote, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. Here's what Jesus actually says. He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God, and he ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. So Jesus is reminding them of a story that comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21. And in this story, David is on the run. David and his companions are on the run because the current king, King Saul, is out to kill him. He is seeking David's death. And this group of men, they are hungry. They've been on the run for weeks, and they stumble into this small temple. And David goes into the temple and finds the priest, and he asks the priest for compassion. He asks the priest, do you have any food that you can share with us? And the priest says, well, the only thing we have is the consecrated bread. It's the holy bread that only priests were supposed to touch or eat. This would be like someone walking in here on a Sunday morning and saying, I'm so hungry. I'm starving. Do you have anything to eat? And coming to the pastors, and we would say, well, all we have is the communion bread. Normally, we don't just hand that out for all of us to eat, right? But exceptional circumstances, times like that, well, those call for different measures. And so the priest in this story allows David and his companions to eat. They eat of the holy bread. They don't have to go hungry. Jesus is referring the Pharisees, who knew that story very well, he's referring them back to that story, saying, our disciples, what they're doing isn't any different from what David did with his companions back then. Yes, sometimes you have to relax a legal observance in the face of human need. Sometimes you can appear to be breaking religious law and you're actually obeying God. That's what Jesus is trying to say to these religious leaders. And here's really his justification. What he says next, this statement, I think, is the reason why this story was remembered in our scriptures. It says, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man, which is a title for Jesus, is Lord even of the Sabbath. Okay, do you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that God tells us to keep the Sabbath, not because it's good for God, but because it's good for us. Sometimes we follow the rules that we think are part of Christianity because we're trying our best just to please and honor God. And Jesus saying, in this circumstance, if you're keeping the Sabbath only to please and honor God, you're actually kind of missing the point. We need to flip this on its head. The Sabbath was given to you as a gift by God, saying, I've created this because you need this. Humanity needs this. Humanity needs to set aside one day out of their week for worship and rest and renewal. That is good for your heart. That is good for your soul. That is what you need. And so the Sabbath was not made for God. God made it for man, for humanity. So there are benefits that come when we follow these rules, because this is the type of life that God is saying, this is for you. This is who I want you to be. And so when we see Jesus say that, what we need to do is say, okay, God, how are you speaking this to me today? I mean, this is 2,000 years later. How today do I keep the Sabbath? How today can I set aside one day of every week for good soul work, for worship of you, for rest and renewal of my life? God, how do I do that in the 21st century? These are the questions that Jesus wants us to consider as we're studying this story. Now, this story that we just read, this story is in three of our Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in every Gospel, they tell this story, and then they connect it with another story that happened at a later time. But they put both stories together because you can't interpret the later one properly if you haven't read the first one. And so we have started with this background, with our understanding of what Jesus believes about the Sabbath, right? Being made for humanity. Now that we know that, this next story that's connected to it is going to make so much more sense. So now we go on to chapter 3 of Mark, verse 1. We're told another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. So the first time we're introduced to the man who comes up close to Jesus, the person we're going to study today, the man with the shriveled hand. And we know nothing about him except for his physical deformity. We don't know the man's name. We don't know where he was from. We just know the ailment that he has been plagued with. Now, we're reading Mark's account, but if you would have read this story in Luke's account, he remembered an additional detail. He tells us that it was actually the man's right hand that was withered. The reason he's probably sharing this was that was most likely his dominant hand. And so I want you to imagine how limited this man must have been trying to make an income, a living, in this time period if he did not have use of his dominant hand. Now, we don't know much about him, but we do know he was probably Jewish because he came to the synagogue right here on the Sabbath to worship. And he probably thought that this day, this Sabbath day, was going to be just like any other that he'd come to dozens of times before. He probably thought there's nothing that different about this particular Sabbath. I mean, he was not there to specifically interact with Jesus. He was not seeking out Jesus. He was really just minding his own business. And that's different from the people we've studied previously in this series. I mean, think back even just to this last week. Last week, we studied the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, and she specifically sought out Jesus. She went into the crowd. She reached out her hand to touch Jesus in seeking healing. Not so with this man. This man is not seeking out Jesus. For all we know, maybe he's grown accustomed to his ailment and does not even believe that he can really be healed. And so he isn't looking for Jesus. And really, I read this and I wonder, aren't we like that sometimes? I mean, when we live with something for so long that we begin to think, well, this is just the way it is. Nothing is going to change. We don't seek out Christ anymore for this issue in our lives. We just try to gut through it the best we can. That may be where this man is this day. The story continues in the next verse. Now, some of them, meaning the Pharisees, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him, meaning the man with the withered hand, on the Sabbath. So we already read the story that comes before this. So we know that the Pharisees and Jesus had very different understandings of the Sabbath. Now, fast forward, and we've got all those same parties together in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees are there that day, not to worship, but to watch Jesus. And they're wondering, if we watch Jesus, are we going to see him do something like he did in the fields when he broke the Sabbath law? Would Jesus possibly dare to heal a man on the Sabbath right here in the middle of the synagogue publicly where everyone can see? And so they see, the Pharisees see this man with a withered hand, and they're watching him. And they're wondering, would Jesus really do that? Would he really be bold enough to heal that man in our presence? Well, little did they know that Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Oh, I hope he's not an introvert. My goodness. I mean, I picture this man privately worshiping God, minding his own business. He doesn't know that the Pharisees are watching him. He doesn't know that Jesus is watching him. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes to him and says, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up in front of everyone. Can you imagine if I just asked one of you randomly, come here, I need you to stand up right now, or we have an object lesson here, how that would have felt if you were that man? All eyes are on him. To help us imagine what this may have looked like, I've got a painting that I want to show you. Well, let's get that on the screen. This painting is done by the French artist James Tissot. It was done in 1886. And what I find interesting in this story is, or in this painting, is on the left side you've got Jesus. And right in the middle, you've got this man. He's standing up. He's vulnerably holding out his hand. And everybody is watching him. Nobody's engaged in worship anymore. There's no singing. Nobody's reading the Torah. There's nothing happening except the wondering of what is Jesus going to do with this man. All eyes are on Jesus in this moment. With the man with the withered hand standing next to Jesus, Jesus does not talk with him first. Instead, he turns back to the Pharisees and talks to them. The next verse says, then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Yes, so with this man with the withered hand in need of healing, standing right there in front of everyone, Jesus asks the Pharisees, what should I do with him? What would you have me do? What is lawful to do? Should I heal him, or would that break your laws? If I've got the power to change the trajectory of this man's life, should I do it, or should I follow the regulations, the system that you have created here about how things need to be done? You see, what the Pharisees had done is they had set up the Sabbath as almost a litmus test for faithfulness. It's like, okay, are you following the Sabbath? Great. Then you are a faithful Jew. Are you not following the Sabbath? Then you've got some work to do. You've got to repent. You need to get back on track. It was a litmus test for how you were doing in your faith. And Jesus is saying that misses the point of faith. Anytime there's a litmus test for our faith to say, hey, if you're doing this right, then you're good. Check the box. That kind of misses the overall point of what this relationship with God is really seeking to do in us. And so Jesus challenges them, because to Jesus, relationships are always more important than rules. Yes, for Jesus, relationships always take precedence. And so no longer is the Sabbath a litmus test. Instead, Jesus says there are only two questions that you need to answer to know if you're keeping the Sabbath well. One, are you doing good are you doing evil? And two, are you saving a life or are you taking it? Now, we all know the answers to these questions as Christians because they speak to the type of people that we want to be. We want to be people who bring life into the world, don't we? We want to be people who bring goodness into the world. That is why we're following Christ in the first place. And so we would hope that when told in these dramatic terms what is at stake, that the Pharisees would say, "You're right, Jesus. You're right. Heal the man. That's the right thing to do on the Sabbath. Please heal him." But instead, this is what they did. We're told, but they remained silent. They didn't say a word. They have this man in need of healing standing in front of them. Jesus asking them, "What would you have me do with him?" And they don't say a thing. They remain silent because they cared more about keeping their system in place than about healing this individual life. What do you think the man with the shriveled hand is thinking when all of this is occurring? I mean, I have to think he's beginning to understand what's at stake here. He's beginning to understand, okay, this person, Jesus, can probably heal me. But he's looking towards the Pharisees to see what they're going to say first. And I have to think that the man with the shriveled hand is probably watching them just stand there in silence. And he's thinking, answer him. Answer Jesus. Tell Jesus that it's okay to heal me. Even though it's the Sabbath, tell Jesus that he should use his power and heal my hand because I want to be healed. But they remained silent. It makes me wonder if there are times that we remain silent when we really need to speak up. Times when we see something unjust in the world, something that's just not right, but it doesn't affect maybe us personally, and so we just kind of let it go. We stay quiet. We don't speak up. I know you've probably heard this quote before, but I really enjoyed it. It says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Now, this quote has been attributed to various people in history over the years, but I believe there's a lot of truth to it. The religious leaders don't do that. In the face of what is right, they continue to stay silent. And honestly, sometimes we do too. Makes me wonder, how do you think Jesus is going to respond? This man is still in front of everyone. Everything is at stake in this man's life. And here's what Jesus does. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Anger and deep distress, these are the emotions that Jesus is feeling as he's watching all of this take place, as he's watching this man being used as a pawn and the religious leaders not seeking his healing. And did you catch the specific source of Jesus' anger? It was the Pharisees' stubborn hearts. They were so convinced that they were right that they would not even listen to the Son of God. I read this story and I say, okay, you and I, we have to be cautious here. We have to be cautious of the state of our own hearts. We have to make sure that our hearts never grow stubborn like the Pharisees, that our hearts never get callous or hard towards the world at large. And I thought to myself, okay, if that's one of the takeaways of this message, of this story in Scripture, then how do we know when our hearts are becoming stubborn? How do we know when our hearts are becoming callous towards the world? And I thought of a couple things, and I'm sure you could add to these. But I thought a stubborn heart is so stuck in its ways that it is not open to the new things that God may be doing in the world. I thought a stubborn heart is convinced that it is right and will not be convinced otherwise, no matter how much evidence there is to the contrary. And then finally, I thought a stubborn heart cannot be molded. And we don't want that. We want hearts that are open to God, that are willing to be molded by God, Because it's my belief that God is at work in every one of us every single day. And that our response to that has to be, okay, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Please mold it and form it into who you want me to be. So what do you think is the opposite of a stubborn heart? Well, the way I answer that question is I think it's an open heart. It's a heart that's open to God and God's ways in the world, even if they are different from how we might think God would act. Well, here's our moment at the end of the story to really apply it to us. And so I've got these two questions I want us to think about. How does your heart feel today? Take a little inventory. Look inside of yourself and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? Am I feeling open to God, open to God's people, the things that God is doing in this world? Do I just kind of feel closed off right now? Do I feel shut down? Do I feel jaded towards everything that's happening in the world? Jesus is angered at the Pharisees' obstinance, but he overcomes his anger and heals the man with the withered hand. Yes, he tells him to stretch out his hand, and he does. And his hand is completely restored. For the first time in his life, he can use his hand once again. So what do you think? When the Pharisees saw that happen, do you think they were convinced of the error of their ways? Do they think they saw this and went, you're right. Jesus is right. We should have allowed him to heal on the Sabbath. Or do they double down on their stubbornness and their hard hearts? The last verse we'll study today says this: then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Yes, these stories are taking us closer and closer to the cross as the opposition to Jesus and his new ways of exploring faith in the world really come out. But for now, as Christians, on part of this journey, we need to look into our own hearts and to say, are we open to God and God's ways in this world? Or are we closed? Closed off, set in our ways, unwilling to change for God. Let us follow Jesus' example. Let us be people who are seeking to bring good and life into this world. And that will only happen when we open up our hearts and our hands to God. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. Have a great week.